Time for us to check in with our friend Chad Finn of the Boston Globe and Boston.com. Happy Monday to you, Mr. Finn.
Happy Monday, Rich. Is it a beach day up there in the Bangor area?
It was. It's a beach day today, and then 49 for the high tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Welcome to Maine.
Man, oh, man. Yeah, I was wearing shorts, having a great day, soaking up the sun, and now I'm trying to find my winter socks and then be ready for what it's going to be like for the next few.
Yeah, get the park out and the igloo ready.
Absolutely. Let's see. What's going on in sports? Well, let's start with the Patriots. All right, we'll take the win. That was good. It was that was the least interesting 26-3 win I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, my assignment for this week, because they're on the bye, is I have to rank the their nine games so far in terms of entertainment value. Called my editor once, and I know what number nine is. We watched it yesterday. I mean, it was fun to watch when the Patriots didn't have the football because Matthew Judon was terrific yet again. Josh Uche also had three sacks, played the best game of his pro career by far. Lot to like there, but boy, what a slog their offense is right now.
Just,
thank goodness for Nick Folk. Because there'd be a lot of wasted drives if they had a mediocre kicker.
Absolutely. Yeah, you mentioned Judon had a great game. Uche and Jonathan Jones, you wrote about him in your review of the game. He was terrific as well.
Yeah, I mean, the block punt was outstanding because his timing was perfect. He was guarding the gunner, and then just for the snap, he broke off to a different spot where he had an angle, and absolutely nothing the Colts could do about it. Really just a great execution on that play. And, you know, he's one of the more underrated Patriots. I remember, I think it was The Athletic did something earlier this year on who the fastest Patriot is. And it's Tyquan Thornton, but some of the veteran defensive guys didn't want to give a rookie credit yet. So a lot of them said Jonathan Jones. And I think he's been overlooked quite a bit in his career. You know, he was hurt last year, but he's right there in that conversation of the best free agent defensive backs they've ever found, right there with Butler and Jackson, because he's been a really good player, and the adjustment to the outside has been seamless. The pick six yesterday was the first of his career, but you can look at him and say, you know, this guy's a really good cornerback beyond and a versatile one beyond what he also does on special teams.
Offensively, I felt like it was the softest 20 completion game I've seen a quarterback have.
Yeah, what's that, 7.1 yards, right?
Yeah.
Per catch,
yeah.
147 yards, is that what he had? But, yeah, Max got some things to work through. I mean, a lot of it's not on his plate and his fault. The offensive line's in disarray. Play caller has his highs and lots of lows as he's kind of met Patricia, figures out the job. I think they did a better job calling plays for Bailey Zappe than they have for Mac. And he's playing out, coming off the injury, and still clearly doesn't move as well as he was before. And speed isn't exactly the number one thing he's supposed to have in his game anyway. But a lot of it's also on him. I mean, he's not seeing open receivers. He's locking in on one guy. He's breaking out to take off on the run before, you know, when there's no pressure, just kind of panicking. So these are all things you really didn't want to see from him in his second season. It's a definite regression, and it's not all on him, but the priority during this bye week has to be to get him right and to get him pointed back in the right direction, because he had a really good rookie year, and that feels like a long time ago right now.
You also talked about this in your report on the game, something you don't see every day in a pro game, a 7-yard punt.
What's going on with Jake Bailey?
I don't know. He was so good last year. He was the MVP last year. What has happened?
Yeah, and 2 years ago he was All-Pro, the AP All-Pro punter. And I don't know, there's some speculation that injury he had last year, had a hip issue, messed up his mechanics. I don't know if that's the case. I mean, his first punt in the game is 59 yards, so he's got the leg. But holy cow, a 7-yard punt. The television screen, you had no idea what happened because the camera guy followed where he expected the ball to be. And
right.
About 45 yards short of where he went. So, I don't know. They can't cut him because he's got a $6.5 million contract, and it would hurt them even more salary cap-wise and already right up against it. So, if they brought in another punter, they would have to put him on IR. But so Yeah, I guess after fixing Mac Jones, you got to fix the punter. That's somewhere on the list too.
Bud, welcome to the NFL. We're a 5-4 record. Hey, even a 4-5 record if you're Tom Brady and the Buccaneers means you're right in the thick of the playoff chase.
Or it means you're in last place in the AFC East. Is the Bucs in first place? Then
yes. Yeah, they're the number 4 seed right now.
Yeah, it all depends on your division, I guess, right? I mean, we thought the AFC West was going to be the best division this year, but every team in the AFC East is playing very well. Patriots may be catching a break here with the Bills getting them when they do. If this Josh Allen injury is significant. He's had elbow problems in the past, so he looked like he was in pain yesterday, but then he threw that last pass about 80 yards on the fly, so maybe he can play through it. But, yeah, it's strange. They don't feel like a 5-4 team. It feels like things have gone a little bit worse than that, but they have won 4 out of 5 games, and that Green Bay loss is kind of lamentable now. We thought they were a good team then. Clearly they are not, and had they been able to hold on in that game, they'd be 6-3, and that'd be pretty impressive given all they've had to deal with.
We're talking with Chad Finn here on Downtown. Looks like Xander Bogaerts is doing what we thought he would do and go the free agent route. Any day now, we should expect to hear about a Devers signing, right?
Yeah, maybe after they unload Liverpool, which apparently is in the plans, or at least they're looking into it. But yeah, I read that Devers thing today when the news came out that he had opted out, and you expected it, and you know, no surprise there or anything, but it still kind of felt like a drag. You know, it's real now that he could just sign with another team on any day, and you know he's going to have suitors. I mean, Dombrowski would probably love to get him to Philadelphia. He knows them well. Cardinals have been a team that has been talked about as a potential landing spot for him. And maybe he goes to L.A. and joins Mookie there. Who knows? So the Red Sox price is going to be a lot steeper, I think, now that he's in free agency than it would have been had they made him a reasonable offer back in spring training.
Best baseball story around these parts has been the play of former Black Bear Jeremy Pena.
Oh, he went to UMaine. I hadn't heard that.
Yes, where apparently he bulked himself up by shoveling the field every day.
I saw Joe Carr mention that. I didn't hear it on the broadcast, but yeah, I remember some. It's funny. I saw a clip of him playing at UMaine that somebody posted, and it looked like one of those games where there were about 15 people in the stands, and Stephen King would be sitting there under a blanket reading a book in between pitches. But not a lot of other people there. But you know, they grow, they develop that mental toughness and that physical toughness playing in the cold before they, you know, at least they get the Florida trip in at some point. The rest of us don't get to get away.
All right. So Don Sweeney went to Harvard. He's not a dumb guy. What was he thinking?
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like it was him, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And, he's tight with Cam, but Cam was clearly very remorseful today about how this all went down and sincere. And, you know, that culture thing with the Bruins is real. I mean, it goes back a long ways to where Orr and that group connected with the city like they did. Neely and Bork in that era. The Shaughnessy wrote about it today, and he was spot on. It's just the Bruins fit the fabric of Boston and sort of the makeup of Boston probably better than any of the other teams. And you look at the recent generation with Chara and Bergeron as the captains. These guys try to do everything the right way. And it should have been telling for the Bruins that Bergeron and Marchand and even Nick Foligno, guys like that, clearly made it obvious when they talked to ownership that they didn't want this guy around, and it went against what they believe their organization should be. So I don't know. I imagine there's going to be some sort of punishment here. You know, Sweeney and Neely are very tight, but it feels like Sweeney and the hockey ops people didn't do their due diligence and kind of left Cam sort of reeling from what happened.
Absolutely. Hey, were you surprised by the announcement from Jim Nance that this will be his last March Madness?
I would have been more surprised if he said he was ever leaving the Masters. It's given how he got the job. I don't know if you remember that. I was at UMaine at the time when it happened. It was a big national story. They fired Brent Musburger.
Right.
And was that 90? 90 or 91. I think it was 90. It was in the Duke UNLV finals. And they fired him the night before the championship game. And Nance got moved in then. And it's pretty nice. You've had a nice career when you can stick around for something for 30-plus years and go out on your own terms. And yeah, I'm sure he's got a pretty hectic schedule as it is with the number one NFL team and the Masters. And I think he's probably just prioritizing things here as he slows down a little bit.
And Ian Eagle will be great.
Yeah, he's the most underrated broadcaster there is. I mean, they had the Patriots game, Patriots-Jets game, and the response I got to that was, you know, I wish these guys called them every week. People probably felt that way more with Gumbel and Archuleta yesterday, but Ian Eagle is as good as it gets, and it's nice to see him. I think he's 53 years old now, 54 years old. Get a high-profile assignment because he's been worthy of it for a long time.
No question about that. Chad Finn of the Boston Globe, great talking with you as always, my friend. Have a nice week, and we'll catch up with you again very soon.
Why is it getting dark out? It's not even 5 o'clock yet. What is this?
Yeah, I love the time. We're going, our friend Bill Green has suggested we go Atlantic time. Do you want to go that route?
Yeah, I don't listen to him on many things after last election.
yes, I am with you on that as well. Yeah, let's hope the sun does come up on Wednesday morning, because I'm a bit uncertain.
Yeah, I'm checking out tomorrow. I'll let me know if there's anything I need to know.
It's a good idea. I'll call you from my bunker.
All right, you got my number.
I do. Thanks, Chad.
Spirits.
Chad Finn of the Boston Globe here on Downtown.